Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
The race is on, and Audi has signed veteran Nico Hülkenberg for 2025 and beyond. So what does that mean for the driver market? And with talk of Adrian Newey intending to leave Red Bull, how seismic an impact could that have on Formula One? I'm Ed Stewart, and joining us to tell all are Mark Hughes and Ben Anderson. Well, Mark, welcome back. It's been a quiet week, hasn't it, again? Since China, nothing much going on, nothing much to talk about.
yeah, just everything, all at the same time. It's just some film like that, isn't it?
Yeah, everything, everywhere, all at once. Yeah, the Oscar winner.
Yeah. That's what it's been. That's what it's been like the last 24 hours, isn't it?
That's just what you need. And Ben, obviously you've been coordinating a lot of this at base, so similar sort of experience, just a slightly different perspective.
Yeah, bleary-eyed days stretching into the night and then early starts. But this is what we like. You know, China was a pretty humdrum Grand Prix for storylines, and that makes the gap between one race and the next a bit daunting. But Red Bull is the gift that keeps on giving off track this season. And obviously, you know, Audi moving in the driver market gives us all something to talk about. So hooray for that.
Exactly. Yeah, Red Bull and Audi actually doing quite a lot of heavy lifting in terms of what's going on in F1. So that's given us plenty to talk about in this one. Well, let's get on with it though, Mark, because Sauber has signed Hülkenberg. It describes it as a multi-year deal. So he's there for 25 and beyond. I guess it's a 2+1 contract. That's normally the way it is. So with an option perhaps for 27 or beyond. So what do you make of that signing?
Yeah, it's been in the offing for a while, hasn't it? But they've decided to go early with the confirmation and given everyone plenty of notice. It effectively spells the end of Zhou Guanyu's time there, doesn't it? And I guess Valtteri Bottas could yet stay, but that all depends on whether Carlos Sainz accepts what we understand to be a firm offer to go there, which would be alongside Hülkenberg. So that tells us they're prepared to let Bottas go and wanted Hülkenberg more than him. And now is that because of nationality? Is he a better marketing fit? Possibly, I don't know. But I just argued on the website that I don't really see Hülkenberg as an upgrade on Bottas. They're fairly similar in calibre, I'd say, but different strengths and weaknesses. I'd say Bottas actually has more strings to his bow, even if Hülkenberg can be incredibly fast over a qualifying lap. But in terms of how they work the tyres, which is absolutely the core of a driver's effectiveness in current F1, Bottas is better. It's not like he'd be eclipsed in speed by Hülkenberg either. He's got a very handy turn of speed himself. So nothing wrong with Hülkenberg getting that seat, and he's worked hard on re-establishing himself with Haas since being just a stand-in for a couple of years. But I think Bottas is a very easy driver to underrate, and I think he could quite legitimately be asking himself, why Hulk over me? And of course, if Sainz doesn't go there, then Hulk and Bottas could be paired, but with a slightly awkward dynamic. I think that would be an interesting contest, actually. And meanwhile, Sainz is looking at Red Bull, wondering what the hell he might be getting into there if he were to go there, and he's looking at Mercedes, but isn't convinced he's top of their list. So it's a very, very difficult one for him.
I don't think drivers is necessarily the biggest drawback for Sauber at the moment. I completely get the idea of the soon to be Audi Works team looking around to upgrade drivers if they can. But I agree with you, Mark, on the kind of Bottas-Hülkenberg thing. I think there's a few drivers in that region of the grid who are kind of much of a muchness overall. There's little bits in the, you know, favour column on one and drawbacks in the other. And probably the prior relationship Hülkenberg has with the senior management and Andreas Seidel, and the fact that they were courting him already last year, kind of gets him over the line, the German nationality as well for that team. It's a good tiebreaker for them, isn't it? If they're kind of, you know, got marginal decision to make over a pool of drivers. But the fact that the interest is long-standing is interesting to me, because it suggests that already faith in, I mean, I think Zhou, it's quite clear, is a step behind or two steps behind Bottas, but the faith in Bottas was already lost. And I'm not totally clear on why that is. I accept that he has a lot of strength as a driver. I'm not fully convinced he's as on it in his post-Merc guise. And I'm not sure if he comes across as a bit too silly now and someone who's kind of just out to kind of milk his career and have a good time rather than a serious kind of prospect that you build a works team around. I don't even know if that's fair, but what doesn't quite make sense to me in this picture at the moment is why, because his driving performances have been fine. The car is more of a letdown than he is as a driver. So why has the incoming senior management lost faith with him?
Well, I think they pretty much resolved by the end of last year that this was going to be the last year for both Zhou and Bottas. I think they want an all-new driver lineup. Bottas was a bit patchy at times last year. There were concerns in the team that maybe he was distracted by other things. But actually this year, he's come in and he's delivered consistently. I think Bottas has had a strong season. He's been very quick in qualifying. He's been extremely unlucky with the pit stops, the engine failure in China. He could have 2 or 3 points finishes by this stage in terms of what he's been doing. He's had a few moments where the decision-making on first laps hasn't been perfect. That's not a classic Valtteri Bottas strength, it's fair to say. So I think Bottas is driving pretty well. So I think he's really in that position of he's a fullback. We don't know exactly how they see it because basically they're going to wait for Sainz as long as it takes.
Yeah.
And that's going to take quite a while because Sainz is hoping something might open up. He's not best placed for Red Bull because they're leaning towards keeping Perez for another year. They just want to see if he can keep doing what he's doing and avoid the previous slumps. Mercedes have got this most outside of outside microscopic hopes that maybe there's some fantasy world in which Max Verstappen signs there in 25. this infinitesimal chance. And if not, I think Antonelli they're very keen on. So Sainz is almost the fullback option there as well. But I quite like Sainz's approach in that he's thinking, well, I need to stay in a front-running car, so I'm just going to wait and see if something changes at Red Bull or Mercedes, or who knows? You never know what can happen elsewhere. We've seen these shocks in the driver market. Doesn't appear to be any way into Aston Martin, but let's say Lance Stroll were to decide he wants to go and do something else, then that would be a logical move, but I don't think Aston Martin's on the table. So he's in a holding pattern, and Audi have decided that they're willing to wait, and it could be quite some months. So,
but how long are they willing to wait? That's the key
thing,
isn't it?
That's the question. But I think that's why Hülkenberg is a significant signing, because they've got one locked in. They've got one of their choices. So whatever happens, if you get to after the August break even, there will still be good options on the market. Bottas at worst will probably still be available. Who knows where the Alpine drivers will be at? We know they quite like Ocon. So there's possibilities around. Whereas if you had two vacancies, I think you'd be a little bit more worried. You could take issue about whether Hülkenberg's the ideal choice, but I think that's the thinking. But I guess the real question is whether they could have done something better than Hülkenberg. There's the dispute about whether is he a move up from Bottas? Is there anyone else anyone would have been pursuing? An Ocon, a Gasly, any of these sort of people who are littering up the place?
Well, they're good drivers, you know, everywhere in that part of the grid. You know, there's nobody that you would look at and say he doesn't deserve to be there. Gasly is very quick. Ocon's very accomplished. I don't think there's anybody stands out that you think, oh, why didn't they put him in?
That's the key thing, isn't it? It's like Hülkenberg's close enough to all of those guys that with the prior knowledge of what he's about and the fact they've worked, people in that team have worked with him before, I think that gets him over the line as a kind of safe banker rather than thinking, right, we're going to take a punt on two drivers, however good, that we've not worked with before. We have no idea what they're going to bring, what dynamic they have, what personality they are, how they're going to fit in with the team. So I think Hülkenberg, he's a safe choice.
Yeah, and of course, Andreas Seidel, the CEO of Sauber, knows Hülkenberg from the Le Mans program in 2015.
Yeah.
And of course, Hülkenberg won Le Mans in their first Porsche with Nick Tandy and Earl Bamber. So he's got a bit of experience of working with him. I guess one driver who is in a weird position in the driver market is Alex Albon, because as I understand it, Williams have got an option on him next year. But there's all sorts of discussions going on about a longer term deal. They might be tempted, if he doesn't commit for longer, to look elsewhere for 25, which I think is a means to put a bit of pressure on him so he can't just think, well, I'll do 25 and then move on to wherever. So I think Albon's the other driver who, if you were Audi, we know Andreas Seidel rates Albon as well, might have looked at, although it's one of those ones that, again, they'll have to wait or there could be a cost attached to it. But that could fit in actually quite well with that Albon stuff going on over the coming months, because you could get to the point where Sainz says yes or no, and Alex Albon could be available, which would be a great signing. You could do a long-term deal with him, and that's a very good choice as a second prize to Sainz. So I think that's kind of the way I'd be thinking. Anyone else be going that way?
I think it's complicated with Albon, though, isn't it? Because Williams have done a very kind of clear hands-off at the start of the year. He's our guy and he's under contract.
Yeah, but if they're genuinely willing to let him go if he doesn't do a new deal, then that changes.
Yeah, that's the big if that you can't count on. You know, like it's a complicated, potentially expensive way to go unless there's some way that Albon can lever himself out of that.
Well, if Williams don't pick up the option, because it is their option to pick up.
But they are only going to get rid of Albon if they can find an equivalent driver to replace him, right? Because they're in a weak position in that they've got one driver who's absolutely underperforming and they need to get rid of, let's be frank, next season. And then they've got one guy who's really good that they want to build around but doesn't necessarily really want to be there. And so they've got this kind of awkward dynamic to manage with him, plus a seat that they have to fill. So they don't have that strong position that Audi's now put itself in, where they've got a recognised banker already locked in, and then they can chase after their number one target.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all well and good to take the position of, well, we might let you go in 25 if you're just going to go somewhere else in 26 as a theoretical position. But yeah, it could leave them a bit like Williams have been talking to a lot of people, including Carlos Sainz, actually. So yeah, I'm really interested to see how that goes. But the Sainz question is interesting, Mark, because I don't know about you, but I just think all roads point to Audi for Sainz. I think he's right to hang on, but I just don't see it opening up for him.
Exactly that, yeah. He's, as you say, there are these possibilities around, but you know, if you attach probabilities to each of them, they're none of them looking very, very strong. And there's this just path of least resistance taking you down that Audi channel, isn't there? But it's, you know, it's a project that's probably going to be a few years in the making of being competitive. And, you know, he's a guy approaching 30. You know, he really needs to building on the momentum that his Ferrari season has given him. So, yeah, he's not in an
ideal position.
He needs
to be in a top seat, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And
he belongs in a top seat, I think. It's sort of ludicrous that he's not really a first option, even for the second seat of two teams that have a vacancy, in theory.
It's just the way the dynamics work and then how teams are built around, you know, drivers. So just slot them in. You know, at Red Bull, it wouldn't necessarily be a straightforward thing. So
do you think Verstappen would nix that?
No,
I know,
no,
like
I
at
don't.
Toro Rosso, there was the whole dads thing, but you don't think Verstappen would be bothered?
No, I really don't. I think that's the sort of chicken feed now, you know, all those years ago, how they got on as rookies. I really don't think Max would be in the least bit bothered. You know, Carlos is a feisty sort of character, more so than Checo.
Yeah.
And he's intrinsically quicker than Checo as well. So
yeah,
it would put a bit more pressure on Max. I don't think he would be a threat to Max, but I think he would be able to, on certain days, he'd be able to take it to him.
Yeah.
But I really don't think Max is worried about that. You know, he's even said it once, didn't he? He said, oh, I don't care who comes here, they'll be finishing behind me, so it doesn't really matter. Just, you know, it's arrogance, but it's very well placed, you know.
But it's a really interesting scenario, or difficult scenario, really, for Sainz, because Red Bull, management-wise, I think they like the idea of Perez as a line of least resistance 2025 teammate. All things being equal, they should still be the dominant team, certainly the leading team in 25. And then in 26, all bets are off. So it feels like Perez is the convenient driver for 25. And then they take someone for 26. So Sainz is a bit unlucky in that he's a little bit out of alignment with that particular one. And of course,
but that's that bit I don't really understand either, because if you're trying to get lined up for 26, surely you would want to have your drivers in place in 25, so you have a run at that year when everything else changes around you. I mean, okay, Sainz is not a new driver to them, but he would be a new guy in terms of the current dynamic in the lineup. So.
But not if Sainz isn't the person you want for that necessarily.
Well,
or
yes,
you
that's
consider
a good
an
point,
option.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the problem. There's interest in Alex Albon, certainly. He's a possibility for that, definitely. And they might see him as the slightly more easy internal choice. And of course, remember, Sainz forced his way out of Red Bull.
Yeah, and that's true.
There are certain people there. I think Helmut Marko certainly remembers that.
Long memories.
Well. Exactly, yeah. In terms of, obviously, he very proactively forced himself out during his third Toro Rosso season.
And there was that whole thing about, I've been at Toro Rosso too long, and he was quite uppity, wasn't he, at that point, about feeling like his career was being suppressed.
Exactly. So there might be a little bit of history there that counts against him. But it's just a bit annoying for Sainz because he ends up being the second or third name on the list of everyone and the first name on the list only of the team that, let's face it, he hasn't said this, but he doesn't want to go to Audi. Not yet. No. He might think, well, do you know, in 27, 28, when they've proved themselves, maybe that's the time to go. But we can all have a certain degree of faith in Audi. We know they'll take it seriously, but that team's got a long way to go. I don't know what you make of Sauber, Mark, but it feels like it's not just going to turn up in 26 as Audi and everything will be great. That's quite a long pathway to actually being in a position to win. It feels like 28, 29 more than 27.
Yeah, it's only recently sort of begun building on what's the foundation of a very small team. And, you know, everything's relative, of course, but compared to the top teams. And it's just, you know, they weren't even spending up to the budget cap the year before last. So this is not a team which is already getting everything, has got everything in place and is just sort of waiting to pull the trigger. There's a lot of work to do yet. There's a lot of basic groundwork to do before that becomes a really serious front-running team.
And it's a team that almost went under as well. So not only a small team, but one that was almost completely gone.
Yeah.
And can you imagine a guy, you know, driving as well as Sainz is, the form he's in, the success he's enjoyed at Ferrari, having to endure one of those joke pit stops? Like, I can't see how you can so quickly switch your mindset from where he is to being in that kind of environment where there's so much work ahead and you'd have to commit to basically as long as Alonso's committed to Aston Martin, if we have to believe his kind of longest ever contract spiel. Like, it's so much time and no guarantee.
If Sainz goes to Audi, he's really got to be all in on it. And I think he would be, but it's not necessarily something you'd want to do. I think before we move on, it's worth briefly a tip of the hat to Nico Hülkenberg, though, because it's astonishing, really, because he walked away from F1.
You're not wearing a hat, Ed. So
no,
you
I'm
can't
not.
Do
no,
that.
I'm not. I'm barely wearing any hair with my my level of baldiness. But yeah, obviously, when he was dropped by Renault, there was no obvious F1 future. He had those few years in the wilderness, kept doing well when he had those odd stand-in appearances. But not only did he get these 2 years with Haas, and he's doing very well this year, and he did what he could last year in limited equipment, but he's turned that into a works drive. Okay, Audi's not your first choice of factory team, but he's going to get 2 years out of that at least, maybe a bit more. It's a remarkable second career for a really interesting driver who obviously never came close to delivering on those high expectations, but it shows a certain level of determination that he's managed to make this second F1 career work for him. If he gets four full seasons out of his return or more, that's remarkable. So I guess, Ben, it does say that Hülkenberg does have an amount to offer. He's not a perfectly rounded driver by any means, but he's got enough to be this driver who 208 Grand Prix starts he's got now. He's going to be well past 250 by the time he's finished.
Yeah, I've been impressed with him since he came back. I always felt that he would suit this generation of cars a bit better than the ones that were slightly like worse on the Pirellis, let's say. I know it's still tyre management dominated, but it's not maybe quite as extreme as it was, you know, when he was in Force India and pretty much neck and neck with Perez. I think he's fundamentally pretty fast as well, and so he gives you a really good reference. And I feel like that the enforced break he had, this is not a particularly new narrative, but the enforced break he had and the fact that he didn't just give up on it and he kept himself around and tried to get back on the grid and was hungry to go to Haas when, you know, it became clear that Ricciardo wasn't interested in dropping from McLaren to that team, like that's served him well. Like, he seems to have a bit more, I mean, obviously all drivers are determined, but he seems to maybe appreciate it a bit more now that he's kind of lost it and got it back again, and is making a lot more of it, but also perhaps without the pressure that you get from having ground away consistently for years and maybe had doors closed off and you resent certain teams and certain opportunities passing you by. He's in that kind of phase, a bit like Kevin Magnussen, where it's like a bonus second career that you never expected to have. And you can just kind of drive freely in that knowledge.
Yeah, and he's made the most of it. And yeah, I guess the mindset's very, very different. He's kind of a jobbing professional racing driver at this stage. I think he knows he's not going to be world champion. Probably no F1 driver would admit that. But yeah, he knows what his place is. And yeah, he's made the most of it. So all credit to him.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust? Or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
We'll get back to the pod in a moment, but first, a word about our partner, Grammarly. No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. All those emails, reports, and presentations are equally important to the collaboration needed to get things done, and Grammarly can help. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. I know from experience that Grammarly can help you save time on any writing task and ensure you feel confident about what you've produced. In fact, 96% of Grammarly's users report that Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing, and their tone suggestions can help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Well, let's get on to the question of what Haas is losing, Ben. Hülkenberg, as you alluded to earlier, it's very much been their spearhead since the start of last year. So that's not ideal for them, even though they'll have very much seen it coming.
Yeah, not ideal. I think they could see it coming, right? You know, the fact that there was interest in Hülkenberg last year, the fact they had to trigger the option in the contract to ward that interest off, they probably expected and planned for this scenario well in advance. And it was interesting. It's interesting now to reflect on comments Ayo Komatsu was making around the Chinese Grand Prix and talking up Kevin Magnussen more and more, probably in the expectation that, you know, he's more likely now to be the reference driver that sticks around next year when, as I expect, they move heaven and earth to get Ollie Bearman in the other car. That seems like a no-brainer now that there's a seat open. But it doesn't obviously guarantee that Magnussen's the guy they put in alongside. He'd be, again, the safe choice for them now that Hülkenberg's out of the way. Strengthens Magnussen's position. He's driving a lot better. But again, there seems to be so many very good quality midfield F1 drivers on the market for next year, with a couple of really exciting rookies likely to come in as well. It kind of strengthens the team position in terms of not needing to go too early. You know, there's a good chance that Haas could land an upgrade on Magnussen if they wait rather than commit now.
Bottas would seem like a reasonable candidate there. Komatsu did allude to the fact that they needed certain types of drivers, and I think that was meaning because of the type of team they are. Experience is doubly valuable there, and yes, I think it's it was almost certain Bernon was going to be in the car in 25, even before he had his Saudi Grand Prix sensation in his standing role. And I think it's just become completely certain. He's got 6 FP1 outings. He's starting at Imola for Haas. So,
and the car's quick as well. So for the guys in that region of the grid who, you know, say if you're an Alpine driver and you want to get out because you feel like that's become a basket case, or you're Bottas and you're, you know, Sainz commits to Audi and suddenly you're without an option, that's a quick car to land yourself in. So I think Haas is, although it's a small team, I've underestimated how good they would be this year after all the upheaval in the winter. They're still kind of, you know, probably, what, 6th, 7th quickest on average?
Yeah.
Pretty consistently. Sniping for lower points, so I mean that's upper lower midfield, isn't it? So that makes it quite attractive in this region of the grid.
And I think Hulkenberg's value to them was particularly marked last year in a car that behaved as it did. You know, it really did require it to be taken by the scruff of the neck in qualifying, and it wasn't a style of driving that Magnussen was very comfortable with, but he maintained all along, as soon as I fix this car, I don't expect to be trailing Nico anymore. You know, and that's played out this year. The car's better, and Kevin's a lot closer to Nico in performance.
Yeah, the interesting question will be with Magnussen, whether they feel that they can get a driver who's that little bit quicker and maybe who's a bit more rounded off track. Magnussen's a nice driver to have around in Formula One. He's an exciting driver. He's interesting. He's not necessarily super rounded in terms of what he offers, although Komatsu has said his work ethic and approach in industry has been a step up this year as well. So he's definitely in the hunt. But
he's out of contract, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's like Bottas. You pull your finger out when your career's on the line.
but I can see them thinking, if there's someone who's free, be it a Bottas or an Alpine driver or someone like that, someone with experience who they might consider an upgrade, they might well take. But I think we can say Mark Behrmann's a shoo-in, isn't he? And he's going to be the anticipated spearhead aside from the inevitable rookie ups and downs.
Oh yeah, as you said, he was he's clearly gonna that's the obvious slot for him, that for Ferrari put him into, academy driver. And I think he'll adapt seamlessly to that, and we will see a very exciting talent in that team doing some quite exciting things, I'm sure.
Does anyone see a home for whichever of Tsunoda, Ricciardo, or Lawson, if they decide to completely stick with the same lineup they've got now? Does anyone see a home for one of those drivers in this group somewhere?
It's possible, isn't it? I don't think Haas will look at a Ricciardo or a Tsunoda or a Lawson. To be honest, I think Tsunoda will probably stay whatever happens at RB for one more year. But it'd be interesting because it'll just be another couple of potential, one potential candidate in that pool. So, I don't see any making a really compelling case, but I don't know. What do you reckon, Mark?
Not on current form. I think I agree. I think there's Sonoda's pretty rock solid there at that team at RB. Just question of whether they go with Lawson, Ricciardo, and therefore who's on the market, which are we saw. First four races, you would have said that things were looking very bleak for Daniel. But in China, we saw the old Daniel, a glimpse of the old Daniel. So let's see how that progresses, and if he can pull something out of that, or whether that's just going to be a blip in an otherwise unremarkable season. But that I don't think they're going to be whoever's not chosen. I don't think there's going to be a lot of demand for them outside of RB.
No, that's interesting, because it could, in theory, loop back round. You know, like we talked about Williams and the fact that, they're a bit more exposed because they have at least one seat they definitely have to fill definitely have to upgrade realistically. And that just produces one other potential option that they could look at, because you could objectively say even Ricciardo not at his best, or Lawson, based on the 5-race cameo he did, would be an upgrade on Logan Sargeant. So that kind of strengthens Williams' position again.
Sure, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I think one thing we can say is there's going to be a number of drivers who are going to be disappointed, because Behrmann's going to be on the grid. Antonelli will either be in Mercedes or in Williams if they decide not to take him, I'd have thought.
Yeah.
So people like Joe, Bottas, Magnussen, Ricciardo maybe. I mean, Sargent's got 1.5 feet out the door already. I think to have any chance.
He's history, isn't he? Unless something
aside from the fact that there's always that tiny chance you can capitalise on the power of incumbency. And if he were to string together a really good season from here, really good, then they keep him. But I don't think there's any evidence to say that he will do that. So that's purely a long shot. And indeed, there's rumours about him being out earlier than that that are persistent. So yeah, it's going to take a while. I think Sainz is going to be the key player here in terms of his decision. And that could be quite a long way away. I think Audi have set their stall out to wait. Well, let's move on to the big source of speculation because, Mark, there have been some huge headlines about Adrian Newey this week. So what exactly do we know about his apparent intention to leave Red Bull and where could he be headed?
I don't necessarily think he is headed anywhere. Or put it another way, I don't think his motivation for leaving is because he wants to go to Ferrari or he wants to go to Aston Martin. I think more than either of those things, he wants to leave Red Bull, even if that means not going anywhere. I think that's his first priority. This is a personal decision more than a professional one. I think he's uncomfortable with the controversy around Christian Horner and uncomfortable being associated with it. And don't forget, the employee at the centre of the allegations that surround Horner was Newey's PA as well as Horner's. Now, Red Bull say he's contracted to the end of 25 and there would be another year of gardening leave after that if he wanted to join another team, by which time he'll be 68. And there are other complications too, such as the RB17 hypercar project, which Red Bull's invested heavily in, but which is Adrian's project. So you'd think if he's locked into a contract, as Red Bull insists he is, surely he can't work for a rival until 27, right? But not necessarily because of the controversy that's surrounding this team. That could form the basis of a legal battle. If you're talking of in terms of your reputation. So it's potentially very messy. And alternatively, he could just retire and there'd be no need for a legal case because you can't make somebody come to work, but you can use the contract to stop them working for someone else. So, but if he just retired, that wouldn't be the case. He's yet to confirm he wishes to leave. He hasn't officially told the team that, but we know he's discussed it with some key advisors and that's the first thing. So if that gets settled and only then, might we consider if he goes to Ferrari or Aston or Mercedes or McLaren, wherever, there's nothing to suggest he has an agreement in place with anyone. But there are many at the senior level of Formula One management who would love to see him at Ferrari for the sake of a more competitive championship. But I'd say be careful what you wish for, because if Ferrari hit the new power unit regs and they've got new in place too, you're potentially just swapping the livery of dominance, aren't you, from blue to red. So, yeah, I think it's a long, long way up in the air. I don't think it's some plan that has been settled and we're just waiting for confirmation. I think there's a lot to still happen yet.
Well, there'll certainly be loads of other teams that are trying to get Newey on board, although it's a little bit late, really, ideally, for 26, because he's got his contract that apparently runs through to the end of next year, and then any non-complete clause, et cetera, as you alluded to, it could be some time before he's in. So who knows? I guess if you can get Newey, you get him and you make the best of him, whatever happens.
100%.
So that's the interesting thing. But I guess the big question, Ben, is what that would mean for Red Bull. Because regardless of what he does, even if he says, do you know what? I've done it all. I'm going to go and enjoy my retirement now. You still lost out on Newey. And even though he's not doing the heavy lifting, as we've discussed at length before, he does inject that creativity, yeah, those ideas, that conceptual value into the team.
Yeah, well, he's, you know, the greatest Formula One car designer of the modern age, possibly ever. You know, we've discussed before on this podcast how he's kind of like having 5 or 6 different people rolled into one in terms of the breadth of experience he has and the perspective he has. There's no way that Red Bull can't be weaker if he leaves. But at the same time, because he's been so kind of peripheral for a while, you know, they've spent the past 10 years making sure that he sticks around, at least so he can't go to a rival and strengthen them, and then sort of calling on his brilliance as and when they need it and as and when he's been more inclined. But because of that kind of fluid position and the fact that he's not, I guess he's been kind of like a glorified consultant rather than a kind of all-in, you know, hands on the pumps every season technical leader. They've had to build a structure around him to kind of compensate for the gaps that would inevitably leave. So this would be the point at which that structure gets properly stress tested again, a bit like in the kind of earlier hybrid years when he really got fed up with F1 and Renault especially, and kind of went off to do the stuff with the yachts and whatnot, and it just kind of parachuted him in occasionally when they had big problems to solve. But those cars weren't so much his imprint, but they nevertheless had him as like a backstop to help them problem solve their way out of trouble quite successfully, usually. If he's gone, obviously they won't have the backstop anymore, but you'd expect that the structure that they've been building and reinforcing over the past decade would be able to pick up most of the slack. And it would be the chance then for the guys who've kind of been living in Newey's gigantic shadow for years and years to, you know, have their chance to really shine and show that they can do it without him. You would expect that they could survive without him and still do pretty well. But, you know, it depends on whether there's then other unravelings that come from the whole situation of Horner and whether other people feel similarly. And it would feel like the beginning of the end, certainly.
Yeah, it's a strange situation, really, because it'll all depend on what's in Newey's mind about what he wants to do. And that's very, very hard to guess at the moment. We know he's a very driven, competitive character.
Yeah.
So he will probably have a clear idea of what he would like to do, even if it's not with what specific team. I must confess, I still find the idea of him going to Ferrari somewhat odd, because I'm still not sure that's something he really wants to do. But only he'll really know that. Perhaps it could happen and plenty of people would want it to happen. But
in theory, he could stay at Red Bull, couldn't he? You know, if the situation is wrapped up in the Horner thing and then some scenario happens whereby Horner just basically has to fall on his sword because it's all become untenable, then that solves the problem, doesn't it? If it's a personal thing around that case.
Well, if, yeah.
And Horner's gone, then Newey doesn't have a reason to leave anymore. So it could be a play in that regard.
But there
it?
Could also be other reasons about 26. Maybe he doesn't like the power unit project. We don't know. Does he not like the Formula One regs? In which case, does he want to do Formula One?
And I guess, he never likes the Formula One regs, does he?
Well, I guess the other thing, Mark, is you never know what he can do, because there's all sorts of models for this, because we talked about the fact that Newey isn't kind of 24-7 on F1. But there's other models. There's like the Rory Byrne model at Ferrari, because it's easy for people to forget that Rory Byrne is still a consultant with Ferrari. He has an office at Maranello. He does breathe on their F1 program as well still. And obviously Rory Byrne is another of the great designers, one who doesn't get quite as much press almost as Newey, but he's been an absolutely hugely influential figure in F1. So is there a kind of Newey-type role where he takes that extra step away, but it's a semi-retirement kind of deal like that? All of these things seem possible. I guess it depends. Whatever Newey wants, he's going to get, isn't he?
Yeah,
surely.
Absolutely. He can shape his own destiny, really. He can shape how he wants to work or how much or how little he wants to be involved. The moments of clarity and inspiration when you're coming up with new regulations and how you approach a particular problem, you know, from left field sometimes. All these things that he's historically brilliant at, they're gold dust and you can't get them anywhere else. So, yeah, he carries an awful lot of power to sort of shape things as he would want them for, you know, a guy in the latter half of his 60s who probably doesn't want to stop just yet, but probably doesn't want to get into the starting a whole grind of a big new project to be in charge of. I don't see that he would be looking to be in charge of anything. He'd be looking to sort of continue in the way that Red Bull have used him in the last few years.
Well, that's the essential thing. Any team who were to recruit him would have to disabuse himself of the notion that he's going to be the 24/7 chief technical officer doing absolutely everything. That's not going to be what he's doing. That's not the best way to harness him. And in fact, your best thing to do is to give him that, not light duty, that's not the right thing, but if you give him a varied portfolio, obviously he likes doing some of the road car projects and that kind of thing, and you let him be that creative force and just be influential in feeding in ideas and giving little nudges here and there, that'll work really well. But I just feel like if you're somebody who's going to spend big money on him, there's going to be that temptation to try and force him into doing things that you want and do everything. So I don't know. And of course, if you build a job around what someone else wants to do, you run the risk of something that doesn't necessarily work for your team. There's some examples from the past at Ferrari with John Barnard, with the two occasions where they tried to have him based in the UK, etc. So I think if you're Ferrari and you want Adrian Newey, you want him to be in Italy for a decent amount of the time as well. So it's really a huge question for me, Ben, exactly what he wants to do. Maybe he doesn't know what he exactly wants to do, and he's waiting to see what's out there, because although people are always trying to recruit him, this is a slightly different thing. If it's now it's out there that people know he's available, so there'll be this renewed frenzy from absolutely everywhere to try and get him in. Maybe even Mario Andretti will be on the phone. He used to race engineer Mario Andretti.
Yeah.
Imagine if Andretti could get Adrian Newey in. Don't think it'll happen, but what a gambit that would be.
Is that the extra added value that Formula One would want to see? I'm not sure. But I mean, of course, the sharks will circle. Everyone will want a piece of Newey. Obviously, not everyone will be able to offer the same type of thing. The bigger teams like your Ferraris and your Aston Martins with road car arms attached could in theory offer some of that, you know, left field project stuff that we talked about, whereas, you know, smaller racing teams like Williams, I mean, romantically, I'd love to see him go back to Williams and turn them around. But they wouldn't offer much else around that. But equally, they'd be the kind of team that would absolutely take him in any capacity. You know, if he were to do 1 hour a week for them, I think they'd be delighted to have that kind of input.
Well, you never know. They could offer him some a stake in the team, try and close the circle of his career. I mean,
in the drivers, that went well, didn't it, the last time?
No, exactly. But the thing is with Newey is he's not motivated by money. He's motivated by very specific things. He's a very particular character. And it won't even necessarily be the team that's the it's not going to be the team that's the most obvious place to win or anything.
No.
But
no.
There will, if he's got,
that's why I mentioned Williams semi-seriously. Yeah. I think, you know, that's the kind of thing that would appeal. Yeah.
It might just work. I mean, if I was Williams, I'd be saying, right, here, I have a bit of a stake in the team. And again, for Newey, the stake wouldn't be a financial thing, even though it'd be worth a huge amount of money. It would be what it means, what it symbolises. Yeah. I don't know.
It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because I feel like with the Red Bull thing, like they have tried so hard to keep him happy to their own benefit, but also to deprive rivals from the opportunity to snare him, take him away and strengthen themselves. But by kowtowing to Newey and giving him everything he wants, that inevitably is going to create stresses elsewhere in the organisation. I think you're probably already seeing some of that with this other speculation about Pierre Vaché maybe leaving Red Bull and going to Ferrari or wherever, because he's working as a very senior person within that Red Bull structure that's been created kind of around or to the left of Newey, but yet Newey gets all the credit for what Red Bull does. And so it's one thing to have the blessing of that genius and that particular skill set, but for the people working elsewhere in the team, you're forever subjected to the weight of that and how it affects your work and how your work's perceived. So any team that takes Newey, if they try to replicate what Red Bull has done, I mean, I think you'd still, whatever your structure is, you'd say, right, let's start again. We're going to get him in. And it'd be a bit like McLaren with Sanchez. You know, we've signed him under one guise, but actually we've changed it and now it won't work. You probably would just take the hit if people want to leave. But you would have to expect in most teams, other than the smaller ones, there's going to be a massive disruption associated with taking Newey on.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be easy on the cost cap either, because although the top three paid are exempted, depending on exactly how you structure it and how you employ people and that kind of thing. So potentially it could either be a cost beyond that, or it could boot someone else out of your top 3 hours. So there's all sorts of complications there. But I think probably Newey's the kind of person that people will make a play for, no holds barred, as much as we can give them. And then we try and make it work. But I guess that's the key question mark, isn't it? Is it a simple no-brainer that if any team can get him, they should get him and just make sure they make the most of him? Is that just the strategy?
I think so, but it's also, you got to bear in mind, he's not necessarily available. He might not be available for another two and a bit years. So I love the idea, incidentally, of a return with Andretti. It's a fun idea, but I just wonder if something like that.
Actually, the timeline for them would be good, wouldn't it? If not realistically looking at getting in until 2028 with the works engine, actually that could line up quite nicely for Nui.
I just wonder if that might be a fun idea for Adrian as well. But yeah.
Well, it's the kind of thing. I mean, I only float it as, wouldn't that be a fun idea? But it's the kind of thing that could work for Nui. It's the way his mind works. He's not a mercenary by any stretch of the imagination. He's very competitive, but there's certain types of challenges that would engage him. And you never know. But it could also just be, as we've talked about, he could just think, do you know what? I'm not that keen on this anymore. I want to go and do something else. Or I want to go and enjoy a well-deserved retirement. He's achieved...
Ross Brawn gone fishing.
Yeah, well,
I'll see you later.
He's achieved everything in Formula One a million times over, hasn't he? So yeah. There's nothing he can do other than the same thing yet again. So if he did, that would be well-deserved.
Yeah, and don't forget, when he left McLaren for Red Bull, he was leaving a world championship contending team for a mid-grid team. You know, there was something about the appeal of it.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, so I think all bets are off, really. And I don't think we can rule out the fact he might stay at Red Bull, because it's not, the die doesn't seem to be completely cast. It may be in Newey's mind. He may have rock solid decided, but there's clearly stuff going on. There's nothing official, nothing formally announced. Red Bull have stressed in the few bits they've said that he's under contract for next year. So there could be some mileage for something to change in this. There could be something he wants to happen. We don't really know for sure, but if you were Red Bull, you would do everything you can to try and keep him on and keep him engaged, or as your second prize, stop him from joining up with anyone else. So, yeah. But this is absolutely huge. And you've got to say, it would be good for Formula One for him to move elsewhere. Not just as a good storyline, but it would spread some ideas around. And again, it just shows the value of someone with his unique genius. So I think this story is going to run and run. I don't think we're going to have a quick and easy solution to this. So I'm sure we're going to talk about it plenty more. Well, thanks very much to Mark and Ben for your insight. There's loads going on at the moment, so keep an eye on our website and video channel on YouTube for all the latest. There's plenty more to listen to as well from the race, including And Colossally, That's History, Bring Back V10s, The Tech Show with Gary Anderson, our Formula E, MotoGP and IndyCar podcasts as well. Next time, we'll be looking ahead to the Miami Grand Prix, so stay with us for everything you need to know from the world of Formula One.
The Athletic.